A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 219. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Misfits. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Misfits, and it's a decidedly adult show from Channel 4, and in particular from their digital E4 channel. The series ran for 5 seasons, a total of 37 45-minute episodes, which ran from 2009 to 2013, and there's all sorts of mayhem going on within this 5 seasons.
Yes, very much so. It was aimed very much at E4's target demographic, which is 15 to 35-year-olds, perhaps a little less towards the bottom end of that, as it's about these 5 teenagers serving community service sentences for various crimes, who are given these strange powers or superpowers after this mysterious storm that has affected a whole variety of people in the immediate area. And this is very much a black comedy. It is something of a satire of superhero stories. And as I mentioned last time, the superhero genre tends to be a quintessentially American genre, with one or more characters who are powerful for one reason or another, taking up the cause to help people and so on. Well, this is riffing on that idea, and the name Misfits is quite appropriate to these young characters who are not your typical superheroes by any means.
That's right, and I did like your description in the last episode, Brian, where you said they were 5 individuals who were not known for making good decisions, and that's obviously how they ended up in the situation they're in, and their tendency to bad decisions continues even when they've been gifted with these special powers and abilities.
Yes, for this show you have to enjoy very raw and gritty, you know, rated R black comedy, and you have to enjoy characters who do not make good decisions.
So the 5 characters who have this reputation for choosing badly, we talked about the first 2 seasons last time and about how they developed and learnt more about their powers, and about Nathan and his search to find out what power he had got. And as you know, we try to avoid spoilers here on British Invaders. We will say that Nathan does find out what his power is, and it is pretty impressive. And you can also, when you learn what it is, you see why it's not immediately obvious. But Robert Sheehan, the actor who played Nathan, he left the show at the end of season 2. He was replaced by a character called Rudy, played by the actor Joseph Gilgan, who initially seemed like another loudmouth with a cocky personality, although, again, I think some of the rough edges are knocked off him as the seasons progress and he becomes a more likeable character than he first appears. Rudy had the ability to, or has the ability to, split himself into 2 or more identical people with different personalities. He's a sort of almost like a Jekyll and Hyde, except that the 2 characters can exist at the same time. So we get Nice Rudy and Nasty Rudy, which is quite an interesting power.
And then the 2 of them incorporating back into 1 again, where you have the whole personality together. So it's like his almost split personality type difficulties turned into this power where he could really split into separate people.
And we've got, you know, very interesting stuff being done with the whole idea of powers. As you said, Brian, this is not your conventional good guys getting conventional superpowers. These are weird abilities, and we do get some ideas that it's their afflictions, that they are difficult to deal with for some of the characters. And there are sort of nods and references that they're almost like a social disease or a sexually transmitted disease. And in fact, some of the abilities can be passed on by sex. So there's all sorts of strange problems that these powers have, very often causing more problems than they can solve. And we also learn that even, for instance, like an organ transplant, if a character has an organ transplant from somebody who has an ability, they then gain that person's ability. So there's all sorts of weird ways, and this idea that powers can be passed on becomes quite interesting in the later series, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And at the end of season two, there is a very interesting Christmas special that almost sort of sits between season two and season three that introduces this idea that powers can be traded. Someone can lose a power or gain a power, and they introduce sort of an interesting mechanism for that. And this gives us not only new characters throughout the series, but sometimes the characters we already had getting new powers. And there are some interesting things being done with that in here, for sure. There is also continuing to be this rapid turnover of probation officers, sometimes more quickly than others, but the probation officers being, for one reason or another, killed by our group of main characters and buried in this one spot under the flyover, occasionally other characters being buried there too. But there's this running joke about how they end up having to keep killing people
and burying the bodies underneath this flyover, yes, which must be getting pretty crowded by the end of season five.
Yes, they do make references to the fact that they're starting to run out of space to bury people. Along the way, we encounter zombies and religious cults, something that looks quite apocalyptic, masked characters from the future showing up, even a woman who has the power to knit the future. She can knit these jumpers or sweaters that have images of the future in them. All of these different things we see, they're all related to some power that was gained by someone, and it all comes back to the storm.
That's right. All related to this mysterious electrical storm. And as you've said, some of the weirdest powers you'll ever find are in this show, Misfits. I don't think anywhere else you're going to find a woman who has the power to knit things into jumpers that tell the future, Brian, as you've pointed out.
Or someone who has the power to move milk or other dairy products with his mind.
Yes, that's right. He can just has the power to control dairy products. And that sounds like a terrible superpower, but actually it's quite a horrific superpower when it's used in the show.
They made it very powerful, which was interesting. They did some really fun and interesting things with these powers. It was quite neat.
Yeah, absolutely. The strangest powers you'll see. And I think the milk superpower is in the episode when the original five become sort of the celebrities. They almost become a supergroup called the Asbo Five. And for a while they are celebrities, but there's a reset at the end of that episode as well. So lots of interesting stuff done with the whole idea of these special powers and abilities. But along the way, we do start to lose cast members. Obviously, Nathan's gone at the end of season two. And by the time we get to seasons four and five, we've got five new, completely different characters. I think all the original cast have gone by the end of season three, I think, Brian.
One of them stays for a good chunk of season four.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we do sort of have that transition where the third season is most of the originals, and then the fourth is mostly replacement characters, and the fifth is all replacement characters. But some of those replacement characters and replacement powers are really fun ones, and they continue to do some interesting things with it. So it definitely continues on as a strong series, I think.
Okay, and it's all building up to an ending, which we've seen foretold in a jumper, of course, or a sweater. And that ending may involve actual superheroes. It may involve the Misfits becoming superheroes, and there may be a climactic battle that's coming. Something foretold through the power of woolen knitwear.
Yes, sort of turning things on its head with various aspects of the superhero genre, which, as I say, is very fun and, you know, sort of gets a lot of that comedy.
Okay, so we've got this community center, which is the base for all these unusual events. It's where they are doing their community service, and it does bring up certain oddities about the format, which we've sort of alluded to as we've gone along, but we'll spend a few minutes talking about now.
Yeah, everything in this show just about is centered around the community center and the immediate area. So it's a sort of strangely confined area with this community center, some housing blocks and the like. Like around it, there's one bar there, there's a lake that everything surrounds, but it seems like everything is on top of everything else, and no one seems to go anywhere else, which is a slightly strange sort of confined setup that they have for this.
Yes, that's right, with their community service seeming to last a long time, although when we get to the very end of season five, we're told that actually it's only been a year since the storm. So although the series lasted 5 years on television, the events that it covers all take place in a single year, which probably explains why some of the characters are still in orange jumpsuits to at the end of all that.
And some of them get out and then do something else and get back in again.
Come back again, that's right, yes. And, of course, we do have this strange thing that no matter how many characters the Misfits accidentally kill or bump off and bury under this flyover, we never seem to see the police. The police never turn up and investigate. We do get the situation where new characters will turn up and they are perhaps looking for their partner who, you know, has accidentally been killed by the group. But we don't seem to ever have the police involved. It's all neatly contained within the immediate surroundings of this community center.
Yes, that's right. That's sort of part of the concept of this show almost, is that it's this very isolated kind of thing, and they don't really worry about the fact that the rest of the world and the rest of reality, for the most part, doesn't really seem to matter. It's just the surrounding group of people in the immediate area and what goes on in and around this community center.
Yes, and in a way, of course, it has to have the reset button, because if they were carted off to the police station and beyond, it would make for a very different sort of series. But at least here we get the continuing misadventures of the Misfits in their orange jumpsuits and this rather dilapidated community center that they spend so much of their time in.
Or indeed, if they got out of community service for an extended period of time, again, it would not be the same kind of show.
Yep, that's true. Good point. And of course, we've also mentioned this weird storm, the electrical storm. And it seems at first, from the first episode, that it's just struck the five teenagers and their probation worker. But actually, as the series progressed, it seems that pretty much everybody they come into contact with gained some strange ability from that storm. So quite how far and wide it was spread, we don't know. But certainly doesn't seem to be... There's one or two characters, I think, that turn up that don't have special powers, but there's an awful lot of characters that do. And as we've said, some of the powers are extremely strange. Some of them actually quite touching, I think. The ones that deal with elderly people gaining the ability to become young again produce some quite touching episodes. So, you know, there's very interesting stuff done in this show.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we normally like to talk about spin-offs from the shows we're covering on British Invaders. We don't have much to add here about Misfits. Inevitably, as with any successful show, there was talk of a film version, and Howard Overman was reported to be working on the script, but I think at some point last year in 2014, I think it was confirmed pretty much that this idea was dead in the water and that there wasn't going to be a Misfits movie.
Yeah, some of the actors said that they were going to be involved or that they had been looking at scripts that had been sent to them. But yeah, it stretched on and eventually it appears to have fallen apart. But this was something that started when the series was still running, and it's now close to 2 years that the series hasn't been running. So I think eventually they just got the idea that that was done and it wasn't going to happen.
Okay. There has been a sort of a foreign language remake, we believe, or at least a related series, an Italian series called Freaks, which I understand started out as a web series, Brian.
Yes, it was a web series, and they did a couple seasons of it. The second season was broadcast on Italian television, I believe. And this series, Freaks, is sometimes considered a remake of Misfits, but sometimes considered more, it's just something that was influenced by Misfits. But they do sometimes quote Misfits, and there was at least one case where they had the characters in those characteristic orange jumpsuits. And I think they did something that was set in England as well. So it was certainly referenced on this Italian show, Freaks, whether or not it's considered an actual remake or not.
Okay, I suppose that's about it really for spin-offs, apart from its social media presence, which, as we've said, was quite unusual. Though now I think there's an awful lot more tweeting and Facebook accounts for television shows.
Yes, that's right. And of course, they did some webisodes for it while the series was running, including one that sort of sits between series two and series three that ties things in nicely. But all in all, yeah, that sort of covers what they did with it.
Okay, it's time for Misfits and Mishits as we discuss our own views about this show and what we liked and didn't quite like so much. What would you like to start us with, Brian?
Well, there is a lot that I liked about Misfits. I enjoyed the sense of humor that it brought in the performances and especially in the writing. It was constantly having fun with the idea of these characters who are struggling and making bad decisions, and the bizarre and wonderful powers that come into it for both good and bad. They're being used in interesting ways in the plots, but also doing really neat things in the humor.
Yes, it is a very well-written and very witty show. There's an awful lot of good jokes and sort of like very dark, morbid humour as it goes on. And certainly Mr. Overman has got a very distinctive take on the idea of superpowers, the people affected by them, and the weird and wonderful abilities that he gives them. So, the writing, I think, pretty top-notch throughout the five seasons, really.
Yeah, of course you have some episodes that are better than others, and as the characters and the powers change over time, some will be ones you like more than others. But they did some interesting stories and kept it entertaining consistently in this sort of very intense way that was very upfront about sex and drugs and violence and these types of things. But in a way that worked well, in part because of the humor and in part because the storylines were well written as well.
Okay. I have to say that the cast, particularly the initial cast, I think are very good. Likeable characters, likeable performances. Really, I don't think there's, you know, this is a very high standard of acting and directing throughout the five seasons, Brian.
Yes, I think that's right. I think whether the characters are likable or not varies with, you know, your preferences and with different characters throughout the show. Some are more likable than others, but I think they're all interesting to watch, and seeing the things that unfold with the relationships of different types between different characters and with what those characters are going through is always interesting.
Yes, and I think what they did with having some obnoxious idiots as characters and yet actually still managing to find something in their development that makes us realize actually they are quite interesting, they're going through stuff, and in a way they're quite likable. I think that's a major achievement, actually, because you could look at this group of petty criminals and really dislike them from the start, but the success of the writing, directing and acting is that actually we do grow to actually like them quite a bit.
Yes, I think that's right. And, you know, as I keep mentioning, you know, these are people who make bad decisions and people who are very immature in many ways and that you can't admire as people, but it's still interesting to see them grow and to watch what they do.
Absolutely, yes. It's very well done in that respect. We should mention, I suppose, it's got special effects and they are pretty well done throughout, I think. And the way they deal with the special powers is well done. I guess it's only when they have to actually have what we'd recognise as a more traditional superpower, flying, which happens in the last season, that we do get some budget limitations. But even then, it doesn't look too bad, does it, Brian?
That's right. It was okay, and you don't see that much of it. It shows up from time to time in a couple of key points.
The music's good. I liked the theme song. I liked the background music that was used, which was quite sort of cinematic in places, particularly when, you know, they're building up to important story points or climaxes. So that was good stuff.
Are there any particular episodes that you want to single out as being ones that you particularly liked?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose the episode where they become celebrities for a while and they meet this character with dairy-based powers, that was certainly interesting and unusual. That stood out in the first two seasons, I think.
Yes, that was certainly a big one. I really liked the Christmas special at the end of the second season, where they introduced the idea of switching powers and, you know, that you can lose your power, you can gain a new power. And they introduce a new character who was able to gain a number of powers and uses them in a very different way to convince a group of people that he is someone who he isn't.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Interesting stuff. And the guy who can trade powers, a literal power broker, is that's very well handled, very interesting as well.
Yes, he's a character who runs through a lot of the middle of the series, and he's very interesting in there as well.
There's an episode in the first season where they encounter a character who the storm has turned young again. There's something about, you know, elderly people regaining their youth and the excitement of youth. They do something similar in the fifth season as well, but it's not perhaps quite as touching as that first one in the first season, although it does lead to some fairly frank and explicit sex, obviously. We don't want to be prudish, but we should certainly let you know there's plenty of sex, there is nudity, there's lots of swearing, there's lots of recreational drug use, alcohol, and a fair amount of gore and violence in this show, Brian.
Yes, absolutely, no question.
Some of those may make you think it's perhaps not for you, but it's a good show.
The final episode of the series was one that I actually enjoyed a lot, that sort of dealt with, as they were starting to deal with through much of the final season. But the last episode dealt with the idea of starting a squad of superheroes, sort of full on. And it was very well done. And it featured an actual superhero versus supervillain battle. And I think the most bizarre one I have seen in any medium. And it was really quite funny and very well done. And a perfect way to end the series.
Yes, let's just say that there's an encounter between a character who can fly and one of the main series regulars from season 5, and the way that is dealt with, you're not going to see anything like that in any of the Avengers movies. I'm quite sure about that, Brian.
I think that's fair, yes.
So what about bits of this show that didn't work quite so well for us? Were there any bits that you had problems with as the show progressed?
There were not many. It was somewhat jarring when the characters left and were replaced sometimes, as we especially had at the end of the third season, where three characters left, and then in the fourth season you had a bunch of new people. It took me a while to warm to that many new characters at once. I think it did work, but that beginning of the season was a little bit rougher because of that, I think.
Yes, I mean, my only problem with Misfits as a show was the fact that the original 5 characters don't stay throughout. And I think on reflection, it's because I liked those original 5 so much. I enjoyed their characters. I enjoyed the performances of the actors. I thought Robert Sheehan stood out as this sort of lovable rogue character. But they're all good, the original 5. So I was, you know, I sort of had a sense of loss when they left the show. And I didn't find the replacements quite so enjoyable, although Rudy's character does grow on you as he becomes less obnoxious as the show progresses. So my only problem with it was that it didn't stick with the original cast, unfortunately, and they had to make changes as actors went on to, most of them went on to bigger and brighter things, I suppose.
By the end, I really quite enjoyed a lot of their replacement characters. Some of them, it took a little while, but there were some good characters in there too.
Yeah, I mean, they are perfectly good characters and good performances. As I say, I think I was just missing the original 5, that was all.
You also had this thing where they were replacing powers as well as characters, and the powers that they had over the course of the series got weaker. They were less powerful, and by the last season, they weren't actually using the powers as much, which I did miss at that point, but the series still worked very well, and it was still very good, but I did miss the focus on the lead character's powers to a certain extent.
Right, okay.
Now, fortunately, in the final season, as they push towards this idea of the main characters and a different group of characters sort of forming superhero squads, they do start to focus on those powers again in that last run and a good chunk of the last season. So that was nice, and it was a run of things near the end that I really liked.
Okay. I suppose the only other thing that slightly turned me off was this idea that it's all just confined around this community centre, and that the implications don't leak out into the wider world. But we have to sort of accept, I think, that certain strangeness of fiction in order for the show to work, because if the police arrived in force at the end of the first episode, it would have been a very short series.
Yes, I was able to look past that quite easily. I think it was something that was there, and you know, that was it was not a big deal in the face of all of the storytelling and the humor and these sort of interesting characters and performances, there was enough going on that it was not a big deal that it was this sort of slightly strange, isolated setting.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, Brian, before we get to our thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'll just mention, we talked about some of the favorite episodes. There were also a few episodes that were based around time travel and a couple of sort of ongoing story threads that were based on time travel as well. And I'm not going to sort of include those as my favorite episodes because they were sort of different from most of what was going on, but I really enjoyed them and I thought it was a fun thing to throw in occasionally that they could do something radically different by having an entire episode based around time travel, either with Curtis's power or there was a different time travel power that came in. And there were some things in there that were really fun because of that.
Yeah, okay. Yes, there was very good stuff done with time travel. I like the masked man from the future who keeps seeming to pop up and save them in the first couple of series. That was well handled. But as you say, they do come back to that theme and do quite good stuff with it.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get into our recommendations. Eamon, what do you have to say on that?
Well, I would guess people can tell what I'm going to say. The first two seasons of Misfits are absolutely cracking, and I really enjoyed them. I had a great time watching them. I was quite surprised how much I liked the characters. If you can cope with an awful lot of on-screen sex, nudity, drugs and violence, and which of our listeners can't, I suppose. But if you can cope with all that, then certainly go to your nearest streaming portal and have a go at the first two seasons of Misfits. You will enjoy it. It's a great show. The next three series, for me, not quite so much, but have a look at those early episodes, and I think you'll like it. What about yourself, Brian?
I really enjoyed Misfits. I enjoyed all five seasons, so I will definitely recommend them. It, as you say, is not for everyone. Some people are not going to want the gritty stuff full of sex and drug use and everything. And some people will find the nature of the characters a little bit off-putting. But give it a try. It's a very good series. And while the later seasons are different, they do some really good stuff there too. So I would recommend the whole series for sure.
Excellent stuff. And as ever, if you've seen Misfits, let us know what you think. If you were there during the various social media campaigns, let us know about that. Or if you decide to watch the show after hearing our reviews, then do get back to us at some point and give us some feedback, which maybe we'll be able to use on a bonus show. Who knows?
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. So, in summary, Misfits was about a group of teenagers who were sentenced to community service and were doing things like picking up litter and cleaning walls in this small isolated community based around this community center that's at a lake. And a strange and mysterious storm happens that gives a great number of characters these superpowers, including our main group of five teenagers who get all of these strange powers ranging from invisibility to time travel to having these weird effects when someone touches you and all of these strange things. And we find out that many characters were given these powers, sometimes for good, sometimes for ill, and the strange adventures of our main cast would go on and always rotate around things involving these various powers, and strange things with lots of humor and lots of black comedy would happen, including lots of situations where the main characters end up killing people for one reason or another, and always lots of bad decisions happening. Some of the characters move on and are replaced by other characters who are also on community service and also have these strange powers of all sorts and change powers of different types. And it moves towards this final moment of the questions about them forming a squad of superheroes to fight for people and what would actually happen when they do that.
A fascinating show, one of the weirdest perhaps we've encountered on British Invaders. Do get back to us and let us know what you think.
Yes, fun stuff for sure.
And come back and join us next time when we're getting in the mood for Halloween. We're turning a bit spooky and creepy. We're going back to look at a 1968 ITV show. It's that box set Mystery and Imagination. And in particular, we're focusing on one episode, the 1968 version of Dracula.
Yes, this was this 1960s and early 1970s anthology series that was sort of suspense and horror type shows with a lot of adaptations of books. We did the Frankenstein adaptation before, and now we're going to look at their take on Dracula, which should be great fun.
Yes, come and join in the fun. Let us know what you think.
So before then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can come and join the discussions on our Facebook group. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there.
Or come and listen to us on a Monday and Tuesday evening on an internet streaming radio channel. That's the Voice of Geeks Network, which you'll find at VogNetwork.com. You'll find British Invaders, you'll find other shows about films, television, games, comics and all sorts of fun stuff. Do come and join in the fun at Vogue Network and let us know what you think.
Okay, very good. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us for Misfits, and until next time, it's Eamon in England, and my superpower is the ability to turn myself inaudible. Listen carefully, I think it's starting to work.